And it's going to be November the 7th, 8th, and 9th. We started around 6 o'clock. I think the first preacher goes on at 7 o'clock on Friday night, the 7th of November at the Navarre Convention Center. And on the 8th, we'll open up at 8 o'clock Saturday morning. First hour will just be donuts, coffee, fellowship. At 9, the first preacher comes on. And then we have one probably 9:40. We got three or four preachers Saturday morning. We'll take a break, and we're going to feed everybody about 12:30. Yes, we do need help there, guys. So if you want to volunteer, that's great to help, because it's our church that's putting this thing on. It's not somebody else coming in. It's just us. And then Saturday night, first preacher goes on at 6 o'clock, and it'll end after about 9. Sunday morning, we'll open up at 8. First preacher goes on at 9, and I'll conclude it at 12. You know, that's when it ends. So if you can make it, great. Send your relatives, your friends, your enemies, people in the body, people that's Islamic, people that are agnostics, people who don't even know there's a God or trust anything. We want everybody. We want all Catholics there. All Peter followers, should I say. And that's not a slam. The fact of it is, we just want everybody to come and rejoice in this. I asked the lady downstairs on the counter a while ago. She's overjoyed about it. You see, she's working whenever she's up here. So I believe we'll see her. I've invited a young girl out of I had pizza over there in Pensacola, over there in front of Harbor Freight. She's all excited. Now, whether she shows up is a different story. But how are they going to know about it unless you tell them?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're there. So if you got any questions, let me know. The rooms are going fast. In other words, I don't know how many's left. We didn't have 63 rooms. I thought we had 65, but two of them suites. So we had 63 rooms to choose from at the hotel. And when they're gone, people will have to go pay something else in another place. But if everybody's local, and so we're going to set up, we're going to cater in for 200 people. Now, I don't know if we got 200. If we've got 100, it's going to be a success. If we got 50, it's going to be a success. We're going to feed 200. And I don't want to say, I hope we have to go out and buy some chicken or something. If there's anybody over 200 there, you know what I'm saying? But I guess if there's any food left over, then me and Carol will be eating whatever we cater there for about a month. So I don't want that to happen.
And Tricia.
Saturday's
the 8th.
Yeah.
That's the day we eat.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. We probably, depends on how many preachers right now. I've got three scheduled, but I may try to put four in there because I'm coming in from a long way off. I got one coming in from Austin, Texas, Steve Godbird. I've got Clyde Heron coming in from New Braunfels. He took over Jerry Lockhart's church, and he's driving in. And so they're coming in a long way. And then, of course, Brian Seitz coming in from North Carolina. Jan Lover from North Alabama. Prattville, Alabama. Gilbert's coming in. Percy Peters coming in from Mobile. And my gosh, I don't know. Don, I don't know if he's going to preach or not. Well, we got a slew of people coming in from Baton Rouge. So, and that's a good thing. You know, you see these cities, if you drive into Crestview the back way, this is the sister city is somewhere in France on Highway 90. Well, that's kind of what we are. I hate to say it like that, but the Baton Rouge people over there is kind of like our sister church, and vice versa. They really partake with us, and vice versa. So, I want to start into something here. Anybody got anything you want to say, though?
Amen. So, you want us to bring food for Saturday?
No, not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
Help.
In other words, it's going to be me and Carol and Trish. Trish is going to be running the camera most all the time.
Right.
We hope to be broadcasting live out of there. If they've got a water line,
we'll be there.
Okay. And
I've worked in food service all my life.
We're gonna have to have people to set up coffee. We got one girl out of Baton Rouge has done volunteered to take one class. If there's teenagers, young teenagers, or either young children, she preferred the teenagers, and we need somebody probably for their children. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, if it's my choice, I believe the kids ought to sit in there with the adults. But that ain't the way everybody believes. And they want to young children. She preferred the teenagers, and we need somebody probably for their children, you know. Personally, if it's my choice, I believe the kids ought to sit in there with the adults. But That ain't the way everybody believes. And they want to... I ain't even going to say that. We want coffee fixed and there. We don't have nobody waiting for it. I'm going to have donuts there in the mornings, those kind of things. But, like I say, this is about the only place that I know of that you can raise a question without somebody getting bent out of shape with you. Running off and starting their own cult, whatever. You know? And we're... I just want to say a couple of things just to add to what Dave was doing. You know, nothing wrong. I just picked up something. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. And as you go over there, would you bow your head, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for the people that are here. We thank you for the people that are not here. And just praying for those that are not here, that they will trust the gospel of the grace of God for their salvation. We thank you for Jesus Christ that you sent into this world to die for us. Whenever God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing our trespasses unto us, God, for their salvation. We thank you for Jesus Christ that you sent into this world to die for us. Whenever God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing our trespasses unto us, thank God. Thank you, Father. And let the will of the Father be done today. If I say anything that's wrong, let no one remember it. But if it's right, let everybody remember it. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. We all misspeak, guys, I'm going to tell you. All up to you. I don't care how good you are. But in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, he read it two or three times, but it's worth reading one more time. In whom you also trusted. Then in verse 12, Paul was talking about the gospel of Christ. And in verse 13, he's talking about the gospel of the grace of God. After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom? Also, that after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Earnest money. Did they pay you earnest money? Did they just go out and just buy it all at one time?
They paid the realtor.
They paid the earnest money to the realtor when they bought his house, saying, I'm going to buy this. Then they went ahead and paid the whole ball of wax off. That's what's happening in the redemption of the body. Jesus Christ bought you with a price. It's dead. Okay, so the fact is, but we don't have our new body yet. But we will be redeemed. In Ephesians 4:30, it's what does it say? Grieve not the Holy Spirit.
Wherein you're sealed.
Wherein you're sealed until the day of redemption. That's when we're going to get our new bodies, and it's going to be a spirit. Not a spirit as a ghost, but a spiritual body. A spiritual body is the same one I'm looking at, except without blood. Jesus Christ had flesh and bone. He could walk through walls. He could eat, or he didn't have to eat. You don't have to have oxygen. Because you're being prepared for where? A heavenly place, not an earthly place.
Right.
But you can still live on earth, and you can go to heaven. That's not true of those people over there that's going to inherit the kingdom. They're living, they're going straight out of the tribulation, that those that are making through it, going straight into the earthly kingdom. They're going to be breathing. Children are going to be born. You ain't going to have no children born without blood. So we know they're going to have blood. Isaiah 65 pretty well says that. Anyway, back over here. Go over to Romans 8:1. Romans 8:1. Let me find these. You know, all these is off right here off the cuff, because I just, you know, it's so nice to have somebody preaching and teaching ahead of you. So all these things just running through your mind. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, I just want to ask you a question. Right here, this question was asked to me Monday. I was in Montgomery. Does God chasten you today?
Yes.
Oh, He does. Anybody? Anybody else got the opposing view?
Chasing the same what? After you're saved?
After you're saved. Is He chastening you?
No.
We got two views here. One of them's right, one of them's wrong.
Well, both of them could be right. Both yes and no.
No. Well, it is. Actually, it is.
All things are possible with God.
Now, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That's who we're talking about. Saved people, those that are in the body of Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And when you're in Christ Jesus, you're not walking after the flesh anymore. You are in the flesh. You're not walking after the flesh. You're a spiritual individual, and that's what's going to be saved about you. You see what I'm saying? Now this, I've had this question asked up and off. I love the lady. Honest to God, I do. I felt like I'd known her all my life. She says, this is a couple years ago. She says, do you think God's punishing me for the sins that I've committed? Is that chastening?
Yeah.
That's chastening? No. He is not chastening you in the flesh. Remember that. But does he chasten you through your conscience in the spirit?
Sure.
Yes, he does. So, both can be right. You just got to know which is which. If you disagree, that's fine. It's no big deal. It's, whatever it is real. Get rid of it.
Yeah, it talks about reproof, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine.
Right.
And it also says that we're unreprovable. And so there it is. It's the one of them.
Well,
and that's exactly what you talked about.
I think also when you understand your position in Christ and you're doing something you shouldn't be doing, you know it.
You will know it. I don't care. It's in the spirit. He's chastening you in the spirit. And if he doesn't, something's wrong with you. But not in the flesh. Because you said it earlier, Dave. One of y'all did. When God looks down upon his people. Now, I ain't talking about Israel. I'm talking about everybody that's in this dispensation. He sees how much sin? None. So if he sees no sin, how can he chasten you? But he can chasten you in the spirit. Just think about that.
Yeah, his spirit lives in you.
Well, and also
the Holy Spirit.
This is what
his
spirit
lives in you.
Yeah. At a difficult time, you can live as miserable as you want to, but you're only hurting yourself. You know what I'm saying? In other words, you can live sinful, you can do things to survive, you can live certain ways, but it's not God punishing you, it's you living out of the right way to live, to be healthy, and you end up hurting yourself.
In essence, you're punishing yourself.
Yeah. You reap on yourself.
That's it. Now, verse 2 of chapter 8. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death. We're not going to sin anymore, and we're never going to die again in the Spirit. Ever. Yes, the fleshly body is going to die, but that's not what it is. Spirit. Verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That's an unsaved individual. But you are not. Did you see that? If you're a saved individual in here, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, you walk by faith, don't you? Something's wrong. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, that's the Holy Spirit, dwelling in him, he is none of his. Now, it can't get any clearer than that, can it? If you're not saved, if the Holy Spirit does not set up residence in you, and he's not dwelling in you, you don't belong to God. You just don't belong to God. But, in verse 11, but if the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of him that raised up Jesus, that's the Holy Spirit of God, from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead to also quicken, make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Man, I'm going to tell you what, it just can't get any better than that. All you have to do is trust in something. The finished work of the cross, that Christ was crucified and he was buried according to the scriptures, that he was resurrected from the dead on the third day, according to the scriptures, for your justification. In other words, to justify you as if you've never sinned. It's for forgiveness of sins, according to Acts 13:38-39, and according to Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, your trespasses, your iniquities. He died for
all.
All sin/sins. Of course, you've already covered it, but God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, wasn't he? Not imputing their trespasses unto them. That's us. Thank God for that. Thank God that he foreknew us before the foundation of the world, and knew Richard Darby over there, and Jim Sims, and Dave Barnes, and Mr. Hawk here, Mr. Jerry, and all of us in here would one day trust the gospel of the grace of God. He saw it. You were sinners. You were despicable human beings. And he loved you so much, he died for you. He sent his son into this world to die for you. You know it says in John 4:24, I believe is where it's at. It says, God is a spirit, and we worship him in spirit and in truth. But it also says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we know Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. There ain't no doubt about it. I'm with what Richard said earlier. There ain't one holy Bible on the face of the earth that's written in English. It's called the King James Bible. There's a lot of Bibles. Probably, what's the guess? 250? I don't know.
Probably 120.
How many, Robert? You got an idea?
Over 200.
I heard different,
over 200 in English. Yeah.
Different Bibles. Bible means book, but there's only one that's set apart. That's holy. It's consecrated for God's use in the English language. That's what it is. So, go over to Romans chapter 8, verse 38. Because you read this right after you read Ephesians 1:13. For you're sealed until the day of redemption. Here's what it says. It says, for I am persuaded. You got to ask yourself, are you persuaded? It's talking about you. Paul was talking about himself. We're talking about you. He was talking about himself. And you can have the same thing that Paul had. For I, Paul, am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from who's us? Everybody in the body of Christ, the spiritual, invisible church. Separate us from the love of God shall not be, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. It can't be. Can't be. In verse 17 of chapter 10, what does it say, Richard? I know you know it. You repeat it all the time.
I'm sorry. Wait.
Romans 10:17.
Oh, yeah.
So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Wow. Ain't that something?
There's no room.
No room. Yes, sir.
The reason none of that happened because you're sealed.
You're sealed.
Now, I mention this every time we get together. I'm fascinated when we're sealed. And there's only four sealings. There's one where Christ was sealed in John 6:27. He was the first to be sealed. And then the rest of the sealings deal with the body of Christ being sealed. It's not mentioned in the book of Acts. It's not mentioned in the four Gospels. It's not mentioned other than Christ being sealed. But then it's mentioned to the body of Christ. We are sealed until the day of redemption. And nothing we do can separate us from the Lord God. There's nothing we can do that can separate us from the Lord God.
None.
Can I comment a little about that? Can be separated from the love of God?
Yeah.
You know, the people always, you know, especially in the charismatic movement, you know, is the love, you know, and they get all wrapped up in this. They call it agape love. Oh, it's just so wonderful.
Emotion.
And, yeah, emotion. That's agape love there, which basically it accepts us regardless of what we look at, how we conduct ourselves. In other words, it's unconditional love. And where there is conditional, this is unconditional. And so you can't be separated from an unconditional love.
That's right.
That's right. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's start in verse 21. Him knows where I hit it.
So don't let your emotions control your faith, but let your faith control your emotions.
Exactly, because your feelings and your emotions will let you down. They will deceive you in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Over God cannot, will not when you rightly divide the word of truth, will not let you down.
Right. In the Bible, love is an action, not an emotion.
Yeah,
Jesus well said. What true love is.
Oh, yeah. You know,
emotions will lead you down.
Oh. Yeah, I, it's too bad Dave's. I'm sorry, what's her name?
I'm sorry.
Irma. Yeah, Irma's not here because Irma said she was over there and she, you know, they would have a emotional worship service.
Praise
services and whatever. And so everything was fine and whatever during the service. And as soon as you leave the service after a couple hours or whatever, and it was gone.
And then
yeah.
It's hype.
And you've been separated
emotionally
from one service to another. And that's not the love of God at all.
The love of God will never, ever leave you.
Yeah.
Never.
Amen.
You may leave Him,
but He will never leave you.
But you know, I tell you, what is so amazing to me is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, before the foundation of the world. So it's just how despicable we human beings are. And He loved you so much, He still sent Jesus Christ into this world to pay the penalty that you owe. Man, has He got a plan for us? And you know what? We don't know what it is, but we know it's in the heavenlies. Because that's where all our spiritual blessings rest, in the heavenlies. I'm not saying we're not going to come back with Him. I do believe that. And He's going to reign on His throne for that 1,000 years. Now, what are we going to be doing? Are we going to be reigning with Him? Or are we going to be carrying people, as some brother word, prognosticated, is that the right word? He said, I don't know, it's not scriptural, but I think one of our jobs might be taking other people to all these different planets. I don't know. I guess you could eat all you want and never get
perfect.
A little bit like me. And some of us would relish that opportunity.
Well, He's going to change our vital body like into His glorious body. So it's probably everything's going to change. We're going to become as He is.
We're
not going to be thinking the way we do.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, that's a hard thing to come conceive. You know, I know Carl's been witnessing to a guy that I've witnessed to, my neighbor, for a long time. And it's in his mind, ain't it? It's what he thinks about what the Bible says. It's not what you think about what the Bible says. It's what God said in the Bible.
And you add things to it.
That's what he says.
What he says. Oh, Lord.
No. Oh, it's in depth. Believe me.
That's good talking to the guy, though.
Hey, at least we're telling him the truth. It's up to the Holy Spirit to convict him of his sinfulness and his need of a Savior, that he's not the interpreter of the book. There is no private interpretation. Back over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Now he, which established you, us, with you in Christ, and anointed and hath anointed us, is God. God did it. He's responsible for it. Let's blame God. Because He is. He is the one who established us with you in Christ. Who hath also sealed us. Who did? God did.
What was the writer in 2 Corinthians 1:22?
Who, 1:21 and 22. Who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Oh, go ahead.
Jesus was the anointed one. And when it says He hath anointed us, we've been Jesus-fied.
Well, in this case, in verse 21, God anointed us.
Yeah.
God anointed us. But God is Jesus, isn't He?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you don't have this confidence, man, you got a problem. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to read it. Now he that hath wrought us for the self same thing is God. Chapter 5, who also, God now, hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. We already saw that in in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14.
Right.
Verse 6. Therefore, we, saved people in the body of Christ, are always, I like that, always can be changed. And it's always this way. Confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. What's at home in the body? you're saved. We're absent from the Lord. We're absent from the Lord right now, but we're home. We're at home. There's no fleshly body. That's why the Holy Spirit tabernacles in your body right now. That's what He's doing if you're saved. Now, if you're not saved, He's not tabernacling at all. You know, it's just like the Feast of Tabernacles. When I believe God's coming back in tabernacling with His people, I absolutely believe that. It's like a tent. He tabernacles. What's a tabernacle?
It's
a dwelling. It's just like right. It's a dwelling. We have a dwelling here. We walk by sight.
By faith.
By faith, not by sight. Sorry. Right. The Jews require a sign, remember? 1 Corinthians 1:22. But the Greeks seek after wisdom. Now, in her case, they told her she was going to have open heart surgery by the time she was 35. She's 36. They got the pictures on the inside that showed leaking valves. You're going to have them replaced. She come down here, same test run, after we prayed about it. Nothing wrong. How many years later was it that you had it done again? About 5 years later, she's having problems. Gastric, short breath. Went and had the same thing done and no leaking valve, no nothing wrong with those things. We don't trust those miraculous things for trusting the Lord and seeing those things by sight. We trust in the faith of Christ. We have faith in the faith of Christ. And that's what you brought up earlier, I think.
Yep. But he wasn't healed by somebody laying hands on him.
No. God does heal on a daily basis. You may not see it, but does that happen? Yes, it does. Who's doing that? Satan. But does that happen? Yes, it does. Who's doing that? Satan. He can even, yes, he can even.
Revelation, lying signs and wonders.
Now, if there's somebody in here that's thought they've trusted the gospel of your salvation, this is the blood of Christ applied, crucified, buried, and resurrected for the forgiveness of your sins. And there's even a fight going on about that. They say that's not there are people out there in the grace movement that say that this is not enough. Forgiveness of sin. Well, I'm telling you, Colossians 2 tells me, Acts 13 tells me, that Jesus Christ was crucified. He said He died for my sins. Well, He was crucified. He was resurrected to show that He didn't have any sins. You couldn't be resurrected and go back to heaven, can you, with a sin? It says forgiveness. I'm going to put sins. / sin. Have I got to absolutely know that I was justified to get saved? I don't necessarily. I think you do. But if you don't have, if He died for all your sins, He justified you, didn't He? You cleared your all sins. You don't have a problem with this. So resurrected. According to 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4, that's what that says. I do believe absolutely that that's the gospel of our salvation. Don't you? It didn't say justified in there. Believe absolutely that that's the gospel of our salvation, don't you? It didn't say justified in there. But you are, you can read Romans 5:1 and see that you're justified, cleared of all sin.
425
of 5:1. Also.
You mean I understand the scope with that.
Right. But you know you don't have none of these. He died for every one of them. So if He died for every one of them, and we talked about that during your service, every one of them, there's not one that's left. So if they're all gone, He testified, He cleared you. There's none left. believe you have to know the word justified to be saved, as because of the will of the Father is that all men be saved. That's first. Then you're going to find out a lot more when you come into the knowledge of the truth. I call that coming into the knowledge of the truth. I had a guy for an op the other day argue with me, and it just ticked me off, and I lost my cool with him. I told him he was crazy as hell. That's what I told him. He's my buddy. And he is. But he was trying to tell me, and this is the point I'm trying to get across. He said, you trust this and you get saved. Then later, you trust this and later on, 3 years later, you find out it's for this. No, that ain't true. He'd been listening to E.C. Moore since 1984, and he'd been listening to me for the last 8 years. And he was just questioning me. What ticked me off? Yes.
One of the things I was going to mention about that is that, you know, I was saying the very same thing because I was dealt with active Romans where I explained it in justification. But, you know, where everything really gets crystal clear is Ephesians, Colossians, I know it was his prison ministry. That's really what I believe in what you were saying as far as the no wall of partition, starting with Ephesians and Colossians.
Yeah.
Because that's where purified and clear. I mean, and it is the bulk of what he's teaching about the gospel. And so that's our job as a preacher is to preach the gospel and what it means to people. Not just, you know, preach the gospel without what it means. And that's where a lot of people get mixed up is because, you know, I've got this friend of mine that he preaches the gospel and he says the gospel, and never says what it is. And that's what the problem is. We, you know, how shall they hear without a preacher? We're the ones that got to present this and let them know what it is that Paul taught. And they're not connecting it. So I understand what he's saying, but that's not right. In other words,
that won't get anybody saved in this dispensation. And I don't care who it is.
That's right. Because Peter preached that.
And if it took him 3 years to find out about justification, that's...
Jewishly, all Jesus called me. You know, one of the first things that I saw, with E.C. Moore did this, and I really appreciate him for what he did. He preached the gospel, and then after he said that, then he said, believe on the word of Jesus Christ. And so the gospel has to be preached first, the way I see it. Then you can say, believe on the word of Jesus Christ. You can't say it until you preach.
I don't really have a problem with it.
I've been wanting to say this the whole time when you were talking, and you kind of was waiting for a time.
Now's the time.
Matthew 13:15 gives you an order. There's some things that have to take place before you can say it. So you can hear and understand and be converted. So it says, see, hear, and understand.
That's like Romans.
So you've got something has to take place. You have to see your sinner. You have to hear the gospel, Romans 10:17. Then you have to understand it. A lot of people hear it. They have never
that word understand. It's a true statement.
And you understand from the heart.
It's right. It ain't a head knowledge, it's a heart knowledge.
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying.
Acts 13:3, that we've been forgiven for all sin. But none of the ones that he preached to believed it.
Right. And Pharisees, they heard it, but they would not understand because they closed their ears. They didn't want
it. Another thing is that it has to be all Christ that saves us because we're in vile bodies. We don't like to think of ourselves as vile people, but we're vile people. God's going to do away with this vile body and make a detached life into his glorious body. Another thing is we're in the corrupt body. We've got to change this corrupt body into incorruption.
Yes, Carol.
Most people do not understand the concept of being justified. And that's where everybody messes up.
Right. If you know that all of your sins have been forgiven, I can't see why you can't get this. But when you've been justified out of Romans 5:1, it's just further explanation of forgiveness is what it is. But they still don't believe this. If they just got one sin that they think that somebody can get the unpardonable sin, like suicide, which is baloney. All sins were paid for right here. Why? It didn't surprise him you're going to kill yourself. He knew it right here and he still forgive you. All sins have been paid for. It's your unbelief in the finished work of the simplicity of the cross that will send you to hell. Yes?
Well, you know what? These people, what they do is they'll go home and ask for forgiveness every night. And they've done it 1,000 times. And they're not going to stop until they believe.
Yeah,
They may not stop.
And they're not going to be saved.
They haven't understood it.
They haven't understood it. And I'm going to say, if they continue to ask for forgiveness, they are lost.
So that's the angst that you're talking about.
Totally.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's
there about your
night. Every night. There is no peace, there is no joy.
No peace for them.
I'm just fine, and keep asking for forgiveness. I mean, it's like a schizophrenic. They're nuts.
Yeah, but at that point, you have to ask them, what did Christ do then?
Yeah.
And they'll say, he gave you the opportunity to be free. Okay, that's what they'll say. I mean, that's what they'll kind of tell you.
Well, you know, I think that's when they do that, they can say, I believe this, this, and this. And they can even say this. Forgiveness of sins. I believe they can say that. And that's head knowledge. But until they get that there's no sin left and don't ask for forgiveness, they never trusted it in their heart. They didn't have any love, joy, and peace about themselves. They're always wondering. You trusted this before. I'm not trusted it, but believe this. But yeah. You had head knowledge with it.
I had head knowledge.
See, I always ask them, are you in the body of Christ? Yes. How can you be in Christ with any sin? Makes me think. You can't be there if you have sin.
You're not. Zero.
Right. So then, yeah, interesting.
Well, you can ask people, hey, do you think Christ is going to resurrect you or get you out at the rapture if you've got a sin? If you forgot to ask.
Yeah, you missed one.
You missed one. And do you think he's going to take you up into heaven?
Tens of thousands.
Because, see, to be resurrected as he was, no sin.
Right.
No sin. Before he could go back up to heaven where he came down from, he had glory with God before he ever left and came down. And now he's going back. He could not have a sin because he took the sins of the world on himself. Just one sin would have kept him from being resurrected and went back to heaven. He had to go back and get glorified and then come back. So if there's one sin that somebody had forgotten, see, they don't have any security.
Right.
They don't have eternal security.
No,
they're one sin from being one heartbeat from dropping off in hell. That's what they think. But it, because I've got to ask for all these sins. God, don't let me forget any of them.
Yeah.
And if you forget one, well, you can't be resurrected. Or
and the older I get, the more I forget.
And you've got a ton of right behind me. There ain't no more sin.
That's
right. Goodness gracious. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to read a couple of scriptures here, but I didn't come to talk to you about this, but that's okay. I've enjoyed it. Really, what I've come to talk to you about, I'm going to cover next week, I think. I'll give you a hint. When did Paul become your apostle? Just don't even answer it right now. Riches here. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline my ear to a parable. I will open my dark saying upon the heart. Wherefore, to fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heel shall compass me about. Listen to here, verse 6. They that trust in their wealth, and there's a lot of people that do, and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, no matter how much money he got, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious. It ceases forever. Listen, verse 9, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die. Likewise, the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses will continue forever. You always heard about this. What do you call Obama up there right now? His legacy. That's what they're worried about right here. This man's legacy. This wealth demands legacy. Somebody. There's nothing wrong with having plenty of money. They just didn't. But there is if you're using it the wrong way. And they're dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. You heard that. Passed on from generation to generation to generation. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. Man, he is like the beast that perish. This their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve their sayings, and say, like sheep, they are laid in the grave. And it's just using a metaphor when it says sheep. We're not sheep, but I'm trying to use this for us today. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. But God, boy, don't you like the but God, will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased, so don't be afraid. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. But while he liveth, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee when thou they shall never see life. Man is in honor and understandeth not that perish. Man, you can have all you want. It's not going to follow you. I want to follow that up with chapter 51. First verse. Mankind. And this, I'm definitely going to make an application to us. Have mercy upon me, O God. Have you ever said that? I have. Have mercy upon me, O God. I didn't use the word upon, but according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Forgive me, Lord. Yeah. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Any of y'all ever do that?
It's been done.
For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. We know that we're sinners, and we are in need of a Savior. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, and this is all of us, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Wow. Behold, now I want to show you. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. When somebody has presented the gospel of the grace of God, which is the gospel of your salvation, out of Ephesians 1:13, and they took you and showed you 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, and said, this is what you need to do. You need to trust. That's wisdom coming to you if from the individual that told you, but what about the wisdom you have to receive it so you can use it for yourself? And trust in the finished work of the cross at Calvary. That's simple. Wisdom is the preacher's guided if he's understanding what the Bible says and what the doctrine the Apostle Paul said that he got from the risen Savior. The preacher got the wisdom if he's telling you to trust in the right gospel. If not, he has no wisdom. But then it's up to you. You have been taught something. You have a choice, either to trust it or not to trust it. You have that free will to make that decision. And if you decide not to, God's not going to... What? God's not going to force you to trust in His Son and what God did for you. God did it! God had Jesus Christ go. Jesus Christ physically did it. God says, Son, this is what I want you to do. And Jesus Christ said, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But there is no other way. Let thy will be done. Not mine, but let thy Father's will be done. My Father's will be done. And you can't change that. Jesus Christ willingly went to the cross, went to the grave, was resurrected because he trusted his Father that his Father would raise him from the dead. And he would have glory again as he had glory before the foundation of the world. Any comments? Yes, sir.
You're in chapter 51 of Psalms. Look at verse 11.
Yeah.
And David says, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came and left and came and left. Today, when we're saved, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
It won't leave.
He can't take it away.
David says something interesting in the next verse also. He says, "Return unto me the joy of thy salvation." He didn't say, "Return unto me my salvation."
Question. Have you ever done something, so I'm talking about since you got saved, have you ever done something so despicable or thought something so despicable that you felt like you lost your joy and peace?
Well, we all have.
I have. Mm-hmm. I really have. Yeah. I was just beside myself.
And when you turned around and came back, God didn't say, "You fool." He said, "Good seeing you."
That's right. I mean, that's about the simplest way you can put it. That's about the truest way you can put it. Yeah.
A lot of people spend their lives
beside myself.
And when you turned around and came back, God didn't say, "You fool." He said, "Good seeing you."
That's right. I mean, that's about the simplest way you can put it. That's about the truest way you can put it. Yeah.
Forget it. Let's move forward and make it
different. Exactly. And this is why a lot of people have a problem when somebody harms them verbally. I'm not talking about beating them up or physically, whatever. But I'm talking about verbally chewing you out, embarrassing you, and just creating just a problem. I get over here and I chew Jerry down, and he's down on the grounds. Come on. The thing is, we're not supposed to continue to live in the past. We need to deal with that, and how you deal with it is you deal with it through the Lord. You do. And you might not ever forget it, but you can forgive it.
You cannot let it influence your future.
And people do all the time.
All the time.
You harbor something, guess what? I used to harbor something really bad. And it was evil. And I just didn't like looking at it. And but it didn't bother them people at all. It was eating me. It was eating my lunch. Oh, I just couldn't stand it. But I was miserable all the time, every time I saw it. But they didn't care. They were happy. So I had to deal with it myself and get over it. I'm telling you, I had to get over it. I still don't like it. But I dealt with it. I let it go. That's it.